I stand for the flag, I kneel for the cross. And I said, you know, I really like that T-shirt. And they started turning around and witnessing to me. And they said, well, you can get this this flag on .com, Amazon.com, and this and that. And they said, you can go with this, and they'll take your money from the bank and all this stuff. And I thought, well, that's called faith. See, folks, I'm glad Joe Larson's not here today, because I'm going to make a dig on the banks for a minute. To have faith, you got to have faith in the bank. You all put your money in the bank, amen? Not very many amens there, but y'all put your money in the bank, and you have faith in the bank. But do you know anybody in the bank except for Joe? I don't know anybody in the banks. You're hopefully that money is going to go where it's supposed to go. And then when you want to order something from Amazon, no dig on Amazon, but do you know anybody over there? Because I've ordered some things, not for Amazon, but I've ordered things online from time before, and sometimes they don't come. And my faith is shattered, you know, because it doesn't come. So we put a lot of faith in different things, the banks, the system, our government, and whatnot. We put a lot of faith in that. But I want to share with you a little bit about who was really in control. Okay? If you'll turn with me in your Bibles, most of the time I don't use the screen, I just use the Bible. So I'm kind of an old school type guy. And as you look at me, he says, yeah, he looks old school or not, you know. But if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 12, Isaiah chapter 12. And going over to verse 2, Isaiah chapter 12, and going over to verse 2. It says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. I want you to understand that there is deep meaning and rhythm in the Word of God. It requires a willing participant, and I'm praying all of you are willing participants to dig in and listen intently to the Word of God. And when you do that, you find the overwhelming truth. You will find the overwhelming truth that God is in control. You see, we live in uncertain times. And many men use up their own lives leading other people astray, away from the truth of God's word. But there are still some faithful men and women who sincerely seek out the Creator's own image to his highest creation. We need to pray for the underground church in Afghanistan today. Those people are being tormented. They're being pushed by Taliban and other sources to turn away from Jesus. If they'll just say, I don't believe in Jesus anymore, they'll live. And we have folks over there that are not going to turn away from Jesus, and they're losing their lives. We don't have that kind of pressure here. We have no idea what kind of pressure that is. But pray for the underground church in Afghanistan today and all over the world. But we do know that there are faithful men and women who will stick to the Creator's own message of his highest creation. The Bible teaches us, but we don't know it as well as we should, because we need to be studying it more. So we must continue our quest for seeking the Word of God as we study it every day. If you listen to people on the streets, if you look at the magazines, if you hear it on the talk shows, frankly, I'm getting tired of the talk shows on the radio. Sometimes I just rather turn that off, and because I hear a lot about the complaints, but I don't hear a lot about solution. And so I just like to turn on, I'd like to hear praise music, and it soothes my soul. If we listen to people on the streets, there seems to be a vague understanding that we are hurtling towards some grand finale. There's been talk about the climate change. There's been talk that as a climate crisis is one of the issues that will define our future. They're saying this is the issue, the climate change that's happening today. I'm reminded of a politician who just this past week, I was going to say the person's name, but I said, no, that's getting a little political, and you might try and say, well, you're being political, Brother Larry. And I said, well, I can tell you the person's name later if you want to. I won't right now. But politician stood up there in the northeast part of our country after Hurricane Ida just hit there. You know the devastation that hit there. People lost their lives. People, some cities and houses have been destroyed this past week, and people are dying. Politicians stood up and to calm the people down. And here's what this politician said. It's because of global warming. It's because we are doing things. Because you folks aren't taking care of our earth. It's because of global warming, and science is going to take it. And we are passing some resolutions that this will never happen again. So we're putting the responsibility on you. No care that people died. No care that people's lives were lost. No care that at all that people were suffering. It's because of global warming. Some people's definition of an Armageddon type event says, well, there's a big ice cube that's breaking off from Antarctica and melting the Atlantic, and we were all going to be lost. Pray that the ice cube stays intact. See, anyone can come up with end-of-the-world scenarios, but there is only one true source, folks, of learning that is to come and to find out who our Creator is, and our Creator is God the Father. It is through His Word that seekers learn the truth, and we need to understand that it's God who is in control. You see, with life in all of us, it brings storms, doesn't it not? We all face those storms. Life brings with it storms. If you know anything about geography, if you know anything about Israel itself, you know that the Sea of Galilee, if you know anything about that area, you know that sudden and violent storms can erupt as the winds blow from the north through the Jordan Valley into the sea. It's picking up speed, and the way it goes to the narrow gorges there, it breaks down free onto the sea. I'd like you to turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 37. Mark chapter 4, 35 to 37. It says this, and the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side of the sea. And when they had sent away the multitude, because Jesus had preached a long sermon that day. You think this sermon is long? Can you imagine sitting to a message that Jesus preached? How would you like to have sat through the Sermon on the Mount and listen to that sermon? I would have loved it, but it was at least 3 hours long. He had just preached a long sermon, and he sent away the multitudes, and they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were other little ships that went with them. Verse 37, it says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Evidently, other small boats followed Jesus and his 12 disciples. In this particular occasion, Jesus was passing from the west side to the east when the storm broke out in its fury. Who is in control? In Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 and 2 and 11, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I just wanted to read that little side verse for a moment. Because if you let them, the storms of life can deaden your recall. If you have some problems, it's great when things are going well, to praise God. It's great when things are being blessed, when you have a nice meal on your table to give thanks for Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. It's great when you turn on your car and it starts. And that, praise God, you know. It's great when you don't get a flat tire on the way to work, on the way to church. It's great when you go to the grocery stores and they're full. I don't think they're so full right now. It's great when everything is going well. But how about when things are not going well? Can you still give praise to God? Are you willing to do that? If you let them, storms can deaden your recall. You see, in the first century, fishermen used heavy nets when they stored. When they were not stored, you would put them inside an arena into the east, the stern of the back part of the ship. They would put them to put there. While on the water, the fishermen would then place a leather bag full of sand that weighed about 100 pounds so that it would help stabilize the boat. In fact, the Mediterranean fishermen still use that today. There was no space or protection for a fisherman to sleep on the top deck. However, the small stern in the bottom would provide a small place to rest. This was the scene where Jesus was. Now, you have to take into account that even though Jesus is the Son of God, for a time he became the Son of Man. And he took on human form. And in being in human form, he can get tired. And if you preach for a long, long time and you cast out demons and you're healing the sick and you're busy, 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 he got tired. And so here in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, we find Jesus in the ship here. Notice this. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. He was asleep on a pillow. When the storm hit and the sailors, the disciples, they could not get the ship to shore. They thought the boat was going to sink. They tried everything they could to get that ship to shore. And they came to him and they woke him. Notice this. They came to him, they woke him, and they said, "Master, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care?" See, this is a point where they were looking at Jesus, and you may have thought, well, maybe Jesus knew the storm was coming. Surely he knew that a storm would arise. What about all the little people and the people in the other boats? Did they have a hard time keeping afloat? The scriptures doesn't say anything about those boats anymore. And yet, Jesus slept. It's like he was asleep without a care in the world, just sleeping because he was tired. Even the boat was rocking in the noise and the howling winds. But the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Don't you care?" I want you to dwell on that for a minute. It appears that they were rebuking Christ for not caring about their well-being. They didn't not knock the fact that he had abilities, because they knew he had abilities. They knew that he could do things. They weren't questioning that. What they were questioning was his character itself. Don't you care? Can we fast forward today? Does God care what's happening to the Christians in Afghanistan? Does God care? Does he care when you're sick and afflicted on your beds? Does he care that some of us sometimes have a disease and that we're not being healed from it? Does he care sometimes when our families are falling apart? Does he care when marriages are falling apart? Does he care when we lose lost ones? Does he care when people are not being fed? Does he care that sometimes we have tragedies in our families? Have you ever asked those questions of God? Don't you care? I know people have done that. They want to know, where is God? There have been prayers that I have made to God. Heal this person. Can you heal this person? I know for not too long ago, our entire church was praying for Pastor David Ross from Michigan. 39 years old, he has three little girls under the age of five. And we prayed for his healing. And he died. There were people in our church that were angry. They were mad. And they blamed God. But then there are people, and I had to look myself into the book of Job where it says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You believe in that? But here we may ask that question, don't you care? Because I know God can heal. I know God can heal cancer. I know God can heal everything. I know God can feed the hungry. I know He can protect the underground church in Afghanistan. I know He can destroy the Taliban. You know, that's up to God. I know He can do all of those things. But it's not His ability here. Sometimes we may question His character. And that's what the disciples were doing. Notice that. Don't you care that we perish? Never mind all the compassion they had seen Him do as He healed the sick. These are guys that had seen Jesus walk on water. These are guys that had seen Jesus raise the dead. These are guys that had seen Jesus feed thousands of people with just two little fishes and loaves of bread. This was the same Jesus, and they weren't questioning those. They were questioning His character. You see, the storm of life, this particular storm, had deadened their recall. They were actually questioning Him. They were suffering from spiritual amnesia. Anybody had that before in their life? Interesting, though, they didn't question His ability. They just questioned whether He really cared about them. In Isaiah chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, this is a little hope here. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, it says, in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. You shall say, praise the Lord. You shall call upon His name. You shall declare His doings among the people. You should make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. When you're down and out, it's a good time to sing, folks. It's a good time to sing praises to God. When you're down and out, it's time to praise His name. Be like Job. The Lord gave and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Mark chapter 4, verse 39 to 41, something phenomenal happened here. Jesus woke up. They were shaking Him. And He woke up. And it says, and He arose. And He rebuked the wind, and He said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are you so fearful? It's like He said, you guys, I know, you know I'm in the boat. You know I'm here. And we should say the same thing. God is with us. Amen. He's with us. He's here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And we should be thankful for that. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you don't have any faith? We have faith in the banks. Make sure your savings are intact. Amen. Praise the Lord for the banks. You know, the Bank of America. Yes, yes. We have no faith, and they feared exceeding. Look at verse 41. It's very telling. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this, or who is this guy that even the winds and the sea obey him? Who is he? These were men who had seen Jesus in action. They were now newly impressed with his great power. Who was this Jesus? He had power over nature. He had power over disease. He had power over demons. Who is he? They got into the one part of the boat and whispered among themselves like Jesus couldn't hear them. You know? Who is this guy? And we can ask that same question today. Who is Jesus? We're still trying to figure him out, folks. He's the Son of God. He's the one we go to. He's the one that we need. A little sidebar here. When Nicodemus came to Jesus in the middle of the night, he was a ruler of the Jews. He was a ruler of the political party at that time. He came to Jesus at night and he said, "Who are you? You have great power. You teach things that we've never heard before." I think he was ready to sit down and talk to Jesus about the oppression of the Romans, the slaves that were being happening, the homeless, the leprosy that has to wear masks. Does that ring a bell? He was prepared to ask to have this discussion with Jesus, but Jesus didn't go there. If you want to prepare for this end time scenario, Jesus said, "You must be born again." Folks, if we want to get ready for end time scenarios, we need to be born again. We need to have Jesus as our Savior. That's the number one thing we need to do. Who was in control? Amazingly, Jesus even foreknew that his own disciples needed. Their faith in him increased and they were renewed. He knew them intimately. He knew everything about them. He knew them. Folks, he knows your name. He knows your needs. He knows who you are. He knows everything about us. He knows us. I want to share a story with you that it has a lot to do with what's going on here now and what has a lot to do with what just happened with the removal of our soldiers in Afghanistan. The date was June 27, 1976. Some of you know what may have happened. On that date, Arab and German hijackers took control of an Air France flight en route from Tel Aviv to Paris. The terrorists forced the pilots to fly to Uganda in the heart of Africa. Israel had a policy never to negotiate with terrorists. I like that. But frantic families pressured Israel to do something. And finally, Israel announced its intentions to negotiate. In the meantime, they prepared an assault team to swoop in to rescue the passengers with an elite group team of Israeli soldiers. True story. At 11:01 Israeli time, they struck. It took only 90 minutes to attack, load the passengers, secure the perimeter, destroy the Ugandan fighter jets on the ground, and fly away to freedom. I wish we would do that now in Afghanistan. One Israeli soldier lost his life, and all passengers were saved. They were saved. You can look it up. It's a raid into Entebbe, I believe it's called. Just look it up. It happened. It's a true story. Sometime later, there was a young man named Amir. He was with his friend there in Israel, who told a girl that Amir had now been in the famous raid. He told her this. The girl walked away from Amir. She resented this story because she thought it was just a pickup line that these other guys had already used on her in the past. She thought this Amir was making a pass at her. Amir didn't like to blow his horn, but he felt compelled to defend himself. He ran after the girl, and he made the following statement. He told her, just inside the entrance of the house, of the temple, of the palace, to the left was a set of French doors. The carpet was green, and you were lying on the right side of the door. The girl immediately stopped. She ran back. She gave him a hug. She gave him a kiss. As she burst into tears, he was the man who had saved her. She had been one of the hostages. See, when I think of this story, I think of Jesus saving us from being hostages to sin. He knew where you were. He knew where you were in your life when Jesus died on the cross. In Romans 5, chapter 8, it says, while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. He knew where you were at. You see, Jesus pursues us. Did you know that? He chases you down. He tells us things that no one else knows. Very personal things. He knows us. He knows us. And I want you to understand that he knows us. And he has come to rescue us because there is no way we can rescue ourselves. We all have a story to tell. If you want to get personally involved in evangelism, you need to be able to tell your story of how Jesus Christ saved you. Jesus is in control. In Matthew 28, verse 18 and 20, the last part, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power. All power. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. On the island of Patmos, the Apostle John, you'll read about that in chapter 1 of Revelation 1. He must have felt a little lonely. His reflections of all the days gone by, you know. And I can relate with John because in the autumn of my life, I'm starting to reflect on different things that have happened in my life, and John must have thought all the wonderful things, and he must have felt a little lonely there on the island of Patmos. But then all of a sudden he heard a voice, and he turned, and he saw somebody wonderful. Hair was white as snow, piercing eyes, and it was Jesus. And Jesus came, and he put in verse 9, I believe, it says he put his right hand on John's shoulder, and he said, fear not, I'm here. That's my Jesus. He's here. He will touch you. He will touch your heart. Fear not, he says. He gave you a promise. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The sad thing of it is, folks, it has become routine for the world, entertainment world, politicians, even preachers sometimes, to either dismiss or make fun of God's word and those who teach it. We're becoming the enemy quickly because we teach the word of God. Folks, I'm starting to refrain from telling people what I believe. Because people tell me, I believe this, or I believe that. And you say, well, here's the things that I want to tell people that I believe. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I believe he's coming back again. I believe he rose again. And I believe he's the living Lord. Those are the things I believe. But when you start getting to nitpicky things, I want to use the Word of God to talk for me. Read the Word. When people say, well, I think this, well, I think that, I like to tell them, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will guide your paths. Don't tell him what you believe anymore. Use the word of God. Start using the word. When you use the word, people start thinking, well, where's that written at? Well, it's right here. And it's right here. Here it is. Give it to them and have a little fun and walk away. And they're thinking, wow, all this word. So you might want to ask people, you believe in God? Yes, I believe in God. You believe in Jesus? Yes, I believe in Jesus. Do you believe in his word? Yes, I believe his word. Oh, here's what the word has to say. And walk away. Jesus used to do that all the time. Jesus had fun with people. Sometimes he wouldn't even answer their questions. He just dad a little bit of the word and walk away. And they were all like, whoa, who is this man? It's Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He's our Savior. And he's our Lord. You see, famous people recently tell people, even in, you read the magazines if you want to, there was a famous person that was given a report in Parade magazine about the journey from his boyhood. He said he was from a Baptist background to where he is now. He tells that he just can't accept the Bible's claims because now he has faith in his family and his family alone. In people's today's society, they share about different things. Famous people will say, I want my children to read the Bible, but I have to quickly explain to them that these are just stories that people make up to teach people. It's not the rule. I feel sorry for them. How sad that when life storms hit, they will not hit a Savior. They will not have a Savior. When I have life storms, I have Jesus Christ. When things are not going my way, I'm going to praise God no matter what. How sad to remain a hostage to sin. How sad not to know the man in control, Jesus Christ. But as for me, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Stand with me for a closing word of prayer. Precious Father, we want to praise your wonderful name. We want to acknowledge that you are in control. Whether our country falls apart, we know that the government will be upon your shoulders. We pray for the underground church in Afghanistan. People are losing their lives today, Lord. Bless them. Put their names in the book of life. Write their names on your book of remembrance. Give them white robes. Lord, for the hungry that are everywhere, the people that are starving, people that are in need. And I'm talking about us just as well. We may look very well if we're dressed in nice clothes, but we're hungry and thirsting for righteousness. Lord, I pray that you will bless us. I pray that we will acknowledge that you are in control. Thank you for this assembly here today. And we ask, Father, as we leave this place, that we will have good fellowship one with another. I ask, Father, that you will bless our food today. Bless the hands that prepared it. Bless us to say, and let us be able to say like the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is a place of refuge, Father, and we invite you to be here to be with us and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Blessings to you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you are dismissed.